This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Bombshell tonight, David Anthony Burke, a.k.a. D4VD, heading to trial. This as Celeste's bestie says Celeste was pregnant just before her murder. Reminder, Celeste, 11 years old when D4VD, David Anthony Burke, begins to groom her. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
He has ripped her apart, and there she sits in this house.
He blames the smell of this child's decomposing body on his bathroom.
Hell yeah, it stinks. This is human remains that are decomposing. A true child, a human being.
Joining us now from outside a courtroom, Lauren Conlon. She is contributor for LA Magazine. Lauren, thank you for being with us. They keep calling this a preliminary hearing. It is not a preliminary hearing in the true sense of the word, as we understand it anyway, where witnesses are called, evidence is proffered to establish probable cause, in essence, to bind the case over for trial. So why the hearing?
Yes, Nancy. As you said, it's not the actual preliminary hearing, which is scheduled for the 26th. The purpose of today is more of a conference in order to determine that the evidence is sufficient for the preliminary hearing. The prosecutors mentioned during the last hearing that there was a voluminous amount of discovery, and the LAPD was actually still uploading some of these files. So they need to meet today to determine whether or not the defense has everything, the prosecutors have everything, and things can move forward as planned for the 26th. Because as you said, they have to determine that there's enough evidence for this to move forward to trial, since David was arrested on probable cause. And the Los Angeles Superior Court dockets, they are such a mess sometimes, Nancy. They mislabel the times, they mislabel the hearings. So, I mean, those are kind of tough to pay attention to.
Yeah, and that is why it's so important that you're stationed at a courthouse. Lauren Conlon, question. Who is stating there are voluminous amounts of evidence? Who is stating that?
This is Beth Silverman stating that, and she's the ADA. She is spearheading this case, and she's been on the case from the start. She convened the grand jury, and Beth is determined here. I mean, she is one of the fiercest homicide prosecutors in Los Angeles. So if she says they have a lot of evidence, then Nancy, they got a lot of evidence.
You know, Lauren Conlon, everyone joining us, she is at a courthouse, contributor, LA Magazine. Many people are questioning why there was such a delay in actually arresting David Anthony Burke, a.k.a. D4VD. Some legal eagles believe that, you just mentioned, the police are still amassing evidence, that the delay was because of a wiretap, and they were waiting based on his track record of being so arrogant, posting Celeste online, posting videos, images that will only hurt him at trial. I believe that he may have slipped up and confessed online, or at least made incriminating statements. Do you think that's possible? And that is what police, LAPD, is waiting on. That is a delay. Establishing the wiretap validity and transcribing them. They've got to be transcribed. Is that why there's a delay? Do you know anything?
Well, I think that's a possibility, Nancy. I've heard the same. I mean, it's tough to know right now at this very moment. But from everything that we've learned, and by the way, there are so many screenshots of text messages and you know, correspondences of David going around online. It's tough to see what's real and what's not. But obviously, we're going to find out soon from prosecutors. But again, everything we know about this case, allegedly, you know, murdered her allegedly and then kept her in his own car. I mean, I would absolutely believe that this guy slipped up somehow. But, you know, the DA, Nathan Hochman, was actually asked this question by a reporter when he first gave a press conference on this. Why did it take so long? And he basically said that, you know, this case was or is a case where they had to be so certain, they had to ensure they had every single piece of digital and forensic evidence that they could, because there is no witness to this crime. This crime was not caught on camera. A majority of the evidence is circumstantial, and so they needed to make their case as airtight as possible. And in terms of the wiretap, again, I think it's entirely possible, because I think from everything I've learned so far that David is incredibly stupid.
Well, right now we're showing video of D4VD David Anthony Burke at a school without permission. We now know he paid a student $1,000 to give Celeste a secret burner phone that her parents wouldn't find out. Hey, last question. I know you're ducking back in the courtroom. Lauren Conlon, is it true that David Anthony Burke insisted on a glow up, a glam squad, before he would put a toe in the courtroom? Question, who does he think he is?
Well, it's true. He did ask for a haircut, and he asked, obviously, to wear street clothes, you know, and I don't really understand why, because there's no jury there, right? And this is not exactly streaming live, although we will get hopefully some type of footage at some point. But I did notice, Nancy, you know, he was denied the haircut, but when he shaved, let me tell you, in my opinion, he looked so much younger, and that is clearly strategy. And one other thing I want to point out about the schools, I did a deep dive on that. I actually called some of the schools that he was loitering outside of. They had no idea that he was going to do that. They had no affiliation with him. He did not contact the schools. And the schools only found out because of social media, because students were sharing that he was going to be next door to the school, giving tickets away or doing some sort of scavenger hunt on social media. That is not okay. There are 14-year-olds, you know, to 17-year-olds that attend high school, and he was 18 or 19 years old when he did this.
Well, hey, 14 years old for D4VD, that's no spring chicken, because Celeste was 11 when he first began pursuing her. 14, that's an old spinster woman for D4VD. You stated he's trying to look younger. What? What is he going to wear, a onesie and a passy? Look younger? Thing about his demand for a glow-up, he wants to wear pressed khaki pants and a button-down. Since when, in the last, let's just guess, 10 years, has this guy ever worn khakis and a button-down?
Yeah, that's a great point.
He's pulling a Menendez. Yeah. I mean, it never ends. Okay, Lauren Collins, straight back into the courtroom. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. It's kind of giving Harley Quinn. Okay. Aw, cute. I like it. And then, wait do this. Stickers?
Stalkers.
Where's the body glitter?
We go to the USA now.
Where's the body glitter from Claire's?
Bro, body glitter from Claire's is crazy.
Okay, clear glitter.
Okay, chat. I'm gonna show you guys my face makeup.
Let's hone in on the moment where David Anthony Burke is speaking to another person at the home, a female and a male. We're honing in on the woman saying, yeah, you killed her, and the male saying, yeah, me and David. Listen carefully.
Okay.
It's kind of giving Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Aw, cute.
I like it. And then, wait do this.
Joe Scott Morgan is joining us with an all-star panel, but first to death investigator Joe Scott Morgan. Joe Scott, you and I have literally handled thousands of cases, including countless homicide cases. The people in their orbit, what do they have on, blinders? Are they deaf, dumb, and blind? They videoed this. Can this girl talking about, where's my body glitter, can she not hear what I just heard? A woman and a man. I think I know who they are. But the woman says, tell me about Celeste. And the woman says, yeah, you killed her. And then the man, who I also think I know who it is, says, yeah, me and David. Can those other people in the room not hear it? Or are they more worried about their body glitter?
I have no idea. This is what I do know. Did those people have any knowledge that there was a minor child, you know, indwelling in this environment that had been there? And then they're so, Nancy, let me tell you, when the tale is told, this video clip itself is going to go down in infamy. They want to be social media famous. Well, welcome to the show, ladies, because I got to tell you, this is the stuff of a horror movie. And the thing about it is that you think about the status of Celeste at this moment in time, okay? And you consider what they're doing. This, when taken in totality, is one of the most callous things that I have seen in the media in some time. And that's saying a lot, because I'm always involved in things all the time. I didn't think that this could get any darker, but my Lord, Nancy, this is horrible.
Okay, I want to play this one more time for our other guests. And we think we know who the speakers are. We believe we've identified them. That said, we're going to refer to the female as witness one, the person who we believe is the defendant.
Yes.
And witness two is the male who states, yeah, me and David. And what is just so amazing to me is we can hear this, yep, and everyone else is acting like they hear nothing. Let's hear the long form, please, control room.
It's kind of giving Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Aw, cute.
I like it. And then, wait, what is this? Stalkers?
Stalkers. Oh.
Where's the body glitter?
We go to the USA now.
Where's the body glitter from Claire's?
Bro, body glitter from Claire's is
crazy. Okay, clear glitter?
Okay, chat, I'm gonna show you guys my face makeup.
I am listening really carefully because you know what? Let me go straight out to renowned psychoanalyst, Dr. Bethany Marshall. Dr. Bethany is joining us from this jurisdiction there in California, host of a new podcast, On the Couch with Dr. Bethany, author of Deal Breaker. You can see her now on Bravo and Peacock and find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, let's see the transcript as we're talking. You hear witness one, the female. Tell me more about Celeste. Oh. Witness one, the female, yeah, you killed her. Witness two, the male, says, yeah, me and David. Okay, very carefully. Witness one, the female, tell me more about Celeste. I guess he's wondering, what am I going to say? Because she's gone. She's dead. Witness one, the female, yeah, you killed her. Witness two says, yeah, me and David. But then, look at this, Dr. Bethany. They're all in the bathroom. You know what's happening right there, Dr. Bethany? I guarantee you the man speaker is saying, shh, 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 shh. They're going to hear you. And Burke says, they're all in the bathroom. And witness one, the female, says, don't look at me for saying it out loud. They know exactly what's going on, and they don't want the women in the bathroom to hear them talking about Celeste being killed.
Nancy, they all know what's going on, and I look at this through the lens of domestic violence. And, you know, the one way I can tell an abuser when they come into my office is they start vilifying the partner. Oh, she's bad. Oh, she's talking to other people. She's a flirt. She's this, that, and the other. And they try to groom me or brainwash me into hating their domestic violence victim. So what I hear is allegedly David Burke grooming this entire household into hating Celeste.
Dr. Bethany, you're right. Look at the rest. Look at the rest. Because you hear the female say, well, what did she look like? Were you close to her? and you hear witness to state, give him a second. So apparently, David Anthony Burt is having a hard time describing Celeste. And then the woman says, you don't know what she looked like? And Burke says, you can describe her, Neo. He calls the speaker Neo. That's why we think we know who the male is. So they're talking about Celeste. Celeste is dead. And they're so arrogant. They say, yeah, you killed her. And witness two says, yeah, me and David. I mean, hold on just a moment. Straight out to John Bueller joining us, former detective out of Modesto PD, robbery homicide, who's shot to fame, helping to lead the investigation and prosecution against wife killer, baby killer, Scott Peterson. John Bueller, I mean, how much evidence do you believe the prosecution is wading through as we go to air tonight to prove this case? I mean, I found this online, for Pete's sake, and if I can find it, certainly they can find it.
Circumstantial evidence cases, I think, are some of your best cases because you don't have to worry about a witness recanting on you, and you don't have to worry about things like that that are going to screw up the trial. When you build a circumstantial case with strand upon strand on that big, strong cable that gets stronger with every piece of circumstantial evidence, it's very compelling for the jury. They find it interesting at first, then they seem to think, oh, this is looking really good. Then all of a sudden it's compelling and they come up with a good verdict. And that's really what you have here, just like you've talked about many times in the past, the delay and all the prosecution putting the case on and getting ready to make the arrest, it all has to do with what took place after they knew that Celeste was dead, they knew who the suspect was, and you continue to let the suspect continue to put the rope around his neck, put the nails in his coffin.
You know, another issue, you know, John Bueller, you have put together so many complex cases. I want the whole panel to look very carefully at this video again. Let's roll it on mute, please, because at a certain point where they are discussing, hey, you kill Celeste, and then reportedly it's Neo, he's being called Neo by Burke, says, yeah, me and David. Keep watching the woman in the mirror right there, because you see her freeze up and furrow her eyebrows like, what? Watch. Keep watching. As the others are, she's listening. She's listening right there. Nobody's talking. She's listening. And in a moment, wait for it. She's got right there. It's like, what did they just say? What are they saying? Okay, straight out to veteran trial lawyer, renowned defense attorney, Josh Colesrud. Former felony prosecutor, founder of Colesrud Law Offices. Colesrud, I know you would argue to a jury that means nothing. She was looking for her body glitter. But I disagree, because she is lighthearted and all of a sudden it hits her what's going on in the next room. They're saying, shh, down in the bathroom. And she furrows her brow and it all hits her what they're talking about.
Well, we need to be very careful about random clips that the internet produces. You know, when you are able to find something like this only after searching Instagram for hours, you really have to think to yourself, could this be artificial intelligence? You know, when you listen to the audio in the background, a lot of it doesn't make sense. And you never hear David ever say that he killed anybody. And we also know that Neo is not a co-defendant in the case. So I'm not really sure how much evidentiary value, even if this is true, it actually has. So again, you know, when you look at the internet, I know that the, you know, there's a certain narrative that people want to believe. And when you're looking back retroactively, every single comment is scrutinized and put into a picture of evil. And that's human nature. But we have to give David right now the benefit of the doubt. He has the presumption of innocence. He's pled not guilty. And without authenticating this video, we have no idea what actually happened.
You know what, Colesrud? That's why you win so many cases. Your argument is always, well, that didn't happen. And even if it did happen, you don't have proof. And then I show you a video and you go, well, You know, that video may be fake. It may be AI. You know, you always have a backup argument. Okay, I'm not one of your juries that just fell off the turnip truck, but that was a great try. Another thing, Dr. Bethany, Colesrud has a good point that we are not to paint this, or at least the jury is not to paint these facts with a nefarious brush, but they're not making it difficult. I expect the prosecutor will be able to prove that is D4VD, David Anthony Burke's bathroom. Those are his friends. And that is him in the background speaking to, as he calls him, Neo, and the woman who we think we can identify. All we need is Neo. Neo Langston, who calls himself the Asian, who was D4VD's bestie. That's all we need to verify the clip that Colesrud wants us to believe is AI. They're not making it hard, Bethany. I think it's called arrogance.
It's called arrogance, Nancy, and this is only one clip. If we have this, how many other clips are out there? And these kids lived their life on camera, on Instagram. Their sense of self was dependent on their audience. So everything is being filmed in this house, Nancy. This is, again, just one clip. What I see, again, in this Instagram clip is glorifying in the death of what was once an 11-year-old, 14 years old at this point. So how many times on other clips are they degrading her, devaluing her, hating her, dancing on her grave, trying to tell everybody else in that house how horrible she was, brainwashing everybody into believing that it's normal for a 14-year-old to go missing? And how many other people in that house are listening yet dissociated from the reality that a young girl has been killed and is gone? And who else is filming and videotaping? There's a lot to sort through, Nancy. This is not just dependent on this one AI potentially generated clip.
Okay, Dr. Bethany, if you could see my desk right now, it is completely covered with videos and sound that I have found online. And if I can do it, you know the prosecutor is doing it right now. And I believe that's why there has been a delay in court as of a couple of hours ago. But you just stated they're dancing on Celeste's grave. At the point of that video, for all we can tell, Celeste was still in D4VD's trunk, the front of his Tesla, decomposing. And they're talking about her so casually. But I want you to see the video of his concert immediately after she dies. Okay, let's roll the video, please. Watch this. D4VD really throwing a funeral at his shows. They're bringing in, it looks to be a white or a light silver coffin, a female coffin, typically a young girl, young child, young teen. They have people write in the condolence book their wishes. Look at this. That's the motif of the concert. Talk about dancing on her grave. Speaking of grave, to Joseph Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University. He is the author of Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon. He's the star of a hit podcast, Body Bags with Joseph Scott Morgan. But for our purposes, he is a veteran death investigator. That's how I actually met him, through him working with the Fulton County Medical Examiner's Office, who has over 10,000 death scenes under his belt. Joe Scott, while they're laughing and talking about, hey, you killed her. Yeah, me and David. And pulling out a female coffin, a typically female coffin, at the concert. Describe her real grave and what was happening in the front of that Tesla.
Thanks for asking me this, because I had this moment just a second ago. I was thinking about this as I'm watching all of this kind of play out. You know how you guys, in closing arguments with attorneys, you'll present these diagrams. You know what I wish they would do, Nancy, is that if they could timestamp some of these things, all of these activities that he is engaging in, point by point by point, and then have a parallel timeline to show what's happening to her body since the date that she went missing until the day they found her, Nancy. Her body at a cellular level has already begun to consume itself. Okay, this is called autolysis. And let me go down the path a little bit. Nancy, one of the terms that they used in the descriptor, in the autopsy report, is liquefied. Let that sink in just for a second, okay? Liquefied remains. So what that means is that she has been down so long, her remains have been languishing for so long in the frunk of this Tesla sitting there, while they're in there so jubilant and they're going on about their lives and they're planning concerts and they're putting freaking stars on their faces and all of this other nonsense, she's in a state of decay right outside the door there. Let that sink in just for a moment. What a powerful image this is to think about with a parallel timeline. They're going on with their lives. Her life has ended. And now she's degraded out there, and she's not being honored. She's being diminished. And Lord only knows, again, what Dr. Bethany said earlier, what's being said about her now that she's not there.
That video we're showing you of her grave, her real coffin, which is D4VD, David Anthony Burke's Tesla, is from our friends at Fox 11. There you see the front opened right there, the crime scene tape around it, and the dichotomy of them laughing and putting on body glitter, talking about, you killed her, yeah, me and David. It's just like a blip on their screen. This child, who would be about the age of my girl, was nothing to them. They're just so casual. With that as our backdrop, tonight we learn, according to one of Celeste Rivas, who met David Anthony Burke when she was age 14. That's when he began pursuing her. She was still wearing Hello Kitty outfits. The bestie comes forward and says Celeste was pregnant. Dave Mack joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. What do we know?
Nancy, you remember just the other day, the autopsy or death certificate was updated on Celeste Rivas with regard to being pregnant, where at first it was not pregnant, they changed to not known. Well, now we find out her best friend sits down with Celeste Rivas in January, 12 weeks before she is murdered. And at her parents' home, Celeste Rivas is talking to her friend about running away because she's pregnant. And the friend says she's trying not to be judgy. She's talking to her, and the friend says, well, what do you mean run away? See, the friend thought that when Celeste said she was pregnant and she was going to run away from home to be with David, the friend thought it was just some, you know, kid from school, somebody in the neighborhood. She didn't know that Celeste Rivas was saying she was pregnant with David Anthony Burke's child. That's not what the friend knew. It was only after the fact, after Celeste was dead, that she realized what Celeste Rivas was telling her at that night in January of 2025, 12 weeks before she was murdered.
You know, following up on what Dave Mack just said, I want to show you a screenshot we also found, reportedly from Celeste to Burke. D, things are getting heavy. I'm really scared about everything. They're starting to ask questions. Call me when you see this. I need you. Dr. Bethany Marshall, how does this text purportedly from Celeste fit into the theory that she was pregnant or had been pregnant?
Nancy, what I see is a little girl who imagines she has a true relationship with a much older man, who imagines that they have a future together and potentially is thinking about keeping the baby to solidify her relationship with him and their love together. And so I imagine what is going on in her mind as a 14-year-old, as opposed to all these older kids, they're all kids, after the fact, laughing about her death, dancing on her grave, bringing out a casket at a funeral that day or the very next day after she is killed, and the disjuncture between what she thinks is going on and what they know is going on, that she is going to be gotten rid of. She needs him. He needs to have her gone. Women who are pregnant are at a much higher risk of homicide, Nancy. You and I know that. And in some sick, twisted way, this is a 20-year-old man who's not going to let anything stand between him and his career. In his own mind, of course, now he has killed his whole career, but he doesn't want to let anything stand between him and his career, nor do all the other hangers-on in that household who are laughing about this. They are just going to carry on with their circus of filth, and Celeste be damned.
I want you to take a listen to a clearer video. Now, of course, Colesrud is going to tell you this is all AI, but I'll let the viewer judge for themselves.
I media trained you. No, you didn't. That's controversial.
It's controversial of raping kids.
Really good.
Okay,
it's been a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Mwah, 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 mwah. Oh, my. Delete everything. Delete everything. Everything goes. Everything goes.
Bueller, do you hear that? She brings up on a live stream relations, illegal, illicit relations with a child. And then they both go, ah! And then he goes, delete all that. Delete all that.
Yeah, it kind of shows, like you had said, you know, before, there's an arrogance that's with this guy because he's making tons of money. He's becoming famous. He believes he's untouchable. And of course, he brings Celeste into the fold. He probably had feelings for her at one time, but over a period of time, I suspect he probably saw her more as recreation than a relationship. Mm-hmm. And just like Dr. Marshall and you will back up, the leading manner of death for women who are pregnant is homicide. And if it is true that she was pregnant, this is another piece of circumstantial evidence that would lead to motive to get rid of her.
Josh Colesrud joining us, veteran criminal defense attorney, former felony prosecutor. Josh, motive is not required. The state doesn't have to crawl into the mind of a killer and show why. But don't you think, practically speaking, a jury wants to know why?
Yes, especially in a case where it seems like it's being largely built on circumstantial evidence. When you don't have a confession or an eyewitness, prosecutors need to weave in a story about why the evidence that they have makes sense. So here you have a very successful musician, and he inexplicably, again, is accused of killing his underage girlfriend.
Did you just say inexplicably? Like you can't explain why he's charged? That's what inexplicably means. You said he's inexplicably charged with murder.
What is his motive? Like, why would somebody do that? And that's why, because it's not apparent on the face of it, why somebody would do that. And that's why you need to have a motive to explain to a jury, you know, why someone would do this under these circumstances when he has everything he wants. He has fame. He has the girl that he wants. He has everything. So why would he throw that all away and risking throwing everything all away by murdering his underage girlfriend? So that's why motive is important, and especially in a case like this.
You know, Josh, it took me about 5 years, and I was sitting in a felony courtroom, and I remember when it happened. I was trying a homicide case, and I looked over at the defendant, and I thought, why? Why did he do this? It was so senseless, and then it hit me after 5 years, like a cement block in the head. Why? Ask why. Get in there and prove the case, because I'll never know why someone commits murder. But speaking of motive, Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Dave Mack, I think we've identified the motive.
Celeste comes forward to her best friend and says, I think I'm pregnant and I'm going to run away from my family and go to be with David. And again, the friend didn't even think about David Burke. She was just thinking it was a classmate of theirs, you know, and which is just boggling the mind. Because remember here, we're not dealing with a woman. We're dealing with a child who's 14 years old. But then, Nancy, as we get closer to the time, the argument, the text messages that we've seen between Celeste and Burke, we know that she had had her fill. She seemed to be the more mature in the relationship. And she was coming forward to say, hey, man, you're not getting away with this. I'm going to tell everybody who you really are.
And whether or not she was pregnant at the time, Dave Mack, the fact is that sources indicate she was threatening to go public with their relationship. You mentioned she was 14. She was 11 when he began pursuing her. 11 years old. And we know they took, or we believe they took, trips overseas. If she had been pregnant, did she have an abortion there? Why did he keep taking her out of town? There are so many questions. Joe Scott Morgan, a death investigator, the reality is, due to the state of her decomposition after her body had been disarticulated, rendered, could you tell if she had had an abortion?
No, I think that that would be very difficult. But let's also keep in mind, Nancy, that there's been mention of morning after pills as well. So I don't know if this was a reoccurrent theme with them. And this is kind of a ghastly road to go down when you begin to think about what she had been subjected to through repeatedly being raped because, you know, a child cannot consent to having sex. So rape after rape after rape. All right. And when you think about that, had she been, had she had multiple pregnancy, perhaps at some point in time, because there's redundancy here. You know, if you think about the fact that you've already got access to morning after tablets, and if this is something that she's being forced to take, for instance, and it paints a very grim picture. And yeah, they could have gone abroad, they could have gone anywhere else, and to have facilitated a termination of the pregnancy. But there's nothing there that you can really tell. Remember, the coroner had to go back and amend the autopsy report, and still we're sitting there thinking, well, there's not a lot here relative to pregnancy. Even when you look at the examination of her reproductive organs, it looks like, you know, standard dictation. They don't see anything there from a pathology standpoint. Even her uterus is within the normal sizes. All right. It's not swollen, which is something that you're looking for with a pregnancy, of course.
You're right. In the court documents, the state alleges there's information about abortion and the plan B, morning after contraceptive pill. It's so much to take in what this child had been through. Again, he began romancing her, if you can put it that way, at age 11. When she's 11, she's dead, age 14. But there were so many adults standing by, watching this happen, doing nothing. Look at this photo of Celeste at one of D4VD, David Anthony Burke's concerts. She's sitting on the front row with his family, Burke's parents, his sister, and she is right beside his brother. They all know who she is, and how can they not know her age? Here's a bigger problem for you, Josh Colesrud. If these abortions, these alleged abortions, occurred in a different jurisdiction, we know that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave Mack, that D4VD David Anthony Burke took her to London, he took her to Vegas, he took her to Texas, all crossing state lines. Here's a problem for you, the defense attorney. Her passport is found discarded in Santa Barbara near a lake. We also think, Dave Mack, were the chainsaws there? There were other evidence of homicide also found at that lake. Why get rid of her passport? Why did the defendant not want anyone to find Celeste's passport?
Well, from the defense perspective, you know, it seems like we're assuming a lot of things here. Now, just because a passport is found in a different county, that doesn't make it a federal case. In a federal case, you have to have multiple jurisdictions in other states or countries. Now, let's say that the evidence shows that there was illicit sexual material text message, right? That goes through a satellite, and then it automatically becomes a federal case. Now, here, though, you know, we're assuming a lot of things. We're assuming that the victim did have abortions. We're assuming that, you know, that David is the killer and that he discarded the passport. And, you know, it is odd that the passport was found in another county at a lake. But, you know, right now there's no connection to David doing that, you know, unless they have cell phone data that places him at that location near at the time that all of her things went missing. You know, I think that this is just a giant red herring.
Well, it's in the documents, Josh Colzer. Let's get it from Dave Mack. Doesn't the state's affidavit, the state's brief, indicate that late night trip by David Anthony Burke to Santa Barbara where the passport was discovered by the lake?
Yes. Yes, that's where they tracked him. And it's in the original paperwork that the investigators have filed on this, that David Anthony Burke drove out to, there you go. You're looking at where he drove, and he dropped off this evidence. But the big thing is that passport, Nancy. We wondered, how is this really going to play in? How important is this passport? Very important, because it proves that David Anthony Burke was taking Celeste to Las Vegas, to London, Houston, I mean, to meet his family, according to investigators. That meant a lot. And by the way, that passport found by a Caltrans worker in January of this year.
In the last hours, the artist, D4VD, a.k.a. David Anthony Burke, in a court of law. At this hour, the state is building its case. If you know or think you know anything about Celeste Rivas' death, please dial 213-486-6890, 213-486-6890. Tonight, we remember American hero Sergeant Joshua Klaus, Cameron PD, Texas, shot in the line of duty after 19 years on the force, leaving behind a wife-turned-widow, Stephanie, and two sons, Jonathan and Jordan. American hero Sergeant Joshua Klaus. Thank you to our guests, but especially to you for being with us tonight. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.